我们先做一个开始的祷告。
Father, we come to you tonight, in our need, Lord. We always have needs, every one of us.
主啊，我们今天在我们的需要里面来到你的面前，我们每一个人总是有很多的需要。
We thank you that you are a loving heavenly Father.
我们感谢您，您是爱我们的天父。
And you're interested in your children.
您始终关心你的孩子们。
And this evening, Father, we are studying your word.
今天晚上我们继续来学习您的话语。
And we pray by your Holy Spirit that you have given to us, that you would teach us.
主，我们借着您的圣灵祷告，求您今天晚上教导我们。
Show us lovely things about your son.
向我们启示关于您儿子的那些可爱的事情。
And Lord, we would pray for some tonight.
主，我们今天也要为一些人特别的祷告。
Lord, we pray for Ivy's father.
我们为艾薇姐妹的父亲祷告。
Lord, we heard that he's lost his son, and it was Ivy's uncle, and we would pray, Lord, for that family.
主，我们知道他刚刚失去了他的弟弟，所以我们为这个家庭祷告。
Lord, may the light of the gospel shine into that family.
盼望这福音的光能够在这一家人中间闪耀。
And that you would be able to comfort them and encourage them.
希望您能够安慰他们，鼓励他们。
And we pray for Hangin' Jew's, G's, daughter in Toronto. We pray for her, Lord, for her complete recovery.
主，我们也为陆航和马杰的女儿在多伦多念书的女儿祷告，也盼望她能够完全的康复。
And Lord, we would pray for Brother Harold as he has a Bible study tonight in another place. We pray for him.
主，我们也为 Harold 的弟兄祷告，他今天晚上在另外一个地方带领查经。
And now for us tonight, Lord, for everyone that is gathered together here by Zoom, we pray, Lord, that you would open our understanding.
主，我们今天从四面八方上到这 Zoom 上来，求您能够使我们能够明白您的话语。
And teach us, we pray, by your Spirit.
用您的圣灵来教导我们。
We thank you now for your word, and we ask your blessing upon it in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
主，我们为您的话语感谢您，也求您今天祝福我们。奉主耶稣基督的名祷告， Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. Good morning to those in China, and good evening to those here on this side of the Pacific Ocean.
对，我们要问在国内的弟兄姐妹们上午好，也在问候在大洋这一边的温哥华的弟兄姐妹们晚上好。
Now, before we get into tonight's subject, I'd like to make a correction.
那我们开始今天的学习之前呢，我要做一点更正。
Last week, when we looked at the sheaf of first fruits,
上个星期呢，我们学习了那个初熟节。
The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
它是代表主耶稣基督的复活。
I mentioned incorrectly that as the priest waved the sheaf of first fruits in the temple that morning, that the veil was torn in two from top to bottom.
那我有一个地方呢，有讲的有一个错误，就是我说祭司呢，在这个幔子面前，在圣殿的幔子面前摇这个初熟的这一个禾捆的时候呢，他是看到那个幔子从上到下裂开。
Now that's a mistake on my part, because the veil was torn into 2 days before when the Lord Jesus yielded up his spirit. And then on that Friday day, of Passover was when the veil was torn into.
那这个地方呢，是我 犯的错误，因为这个幔子呢是两天前在主耶稣基督在十字架上献出他的生命的时候，他咽下最后一口气的时候呢，这个幔子呢就已经裂开了，从上到下裂开了，就是两天前就发生的事情了。
And that's found in Matthew chapter 27 and verses 50 and 51.
那经文呢是在马太福音的27章的50和51节。
We read in verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. And we know from the book of John that what he cried out was, it is finished.
五十节，耶稣又大声喊叫，气就断了。我们从约翰福音补充的信息知道，这时候耶稣喊的是成了。
It was then that the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom.
就是在那个时候，幔子呢，就是殿里的幔子就从上到下裂为两半了。
When the that was my mistake. I said that it happened on the first day of the week, early in the morning, but I was mistaken.
那这个地方是我讲错了。我说的是，是在星期天啊，就是这个安息日的次日的时候，早晨的时候，幔子才裂开的。不是的，是在星期五，在逾越节的那天的晚上就已经裂开了。
Now I want to thank Sister Nancy for pointing out my mistake.
对，我特别要感谢 Nancy 姐妹要指出我这个错误。
What would we do without our sisters?
如果没有我们的姐妹们，我可怎么办呢？
Don't try to laugh too much, Yanling. But I do appreciate any corrections or anything that is said, that, you might question. I'm certainly open to any questions and any corrections. That you might want to make.
所以我也特别的欢迎大家来指正我，也另外也欢迎大家有任何的疑问都可以提出来，我都是开放的。
Only the word of God is perfect.
因为只有神的话是完全的。
So thanks again, Nancy. Appreciate that very much.
对，再次感谢 Nancy 指出我这个错误。
But this evening we're going to look at the fourth feast.
今天晚上呢，我们学习第四个节期。
And it's called the Feast of Pentecost, which we know it best by that name.
那这个节期呢，我们都很熟悉，它就是叫五旬节。
Turn to Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll read verses 15 to 21.
我们翻到利未记的23章，我们读15节到21节。
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbath shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year, without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits, as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations.
十五节到二十一节，你们要从安息日的次日，献禾捆为摇祭的那日算起，要满了七个安息日，到第七个安息日的次日，共祭五十天，又要将新素祭献给耶和华，要从你们的住处取出细面依法十分之二，加酵烤成两个摇祭的饼，当作初熟之物献给耶和华，又要将一岁没有残疾的羊羔七只，公牛犊一只，公绵羊两只和饼一同奉上。这些与同献的素祭和奠祭要作为燔祭献给耶和华，就是做馨香的火祭献给耶和华。你们要献一只公山羊为赎罪祭，两只一岁的公绵羊羔为平安祭。祭司要把这些和初熟麦子做的饼一同做摇祭，在耶和华面前摇一摇，这是献与耶和华为圣物归给祭司的。当这日你们要宣告圣会，什么劳碌的工都不可做，这在你们一切的住处作为世世代代永远的定例。
Thank you. Now, the features of this festival are very simple.
所以这个节期的这个描述呢很简单。
They take place in one day.
它就是一天，就发生在一天当中。
In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 22,It is called the Feast of Weeks.
Exodus
chapter 34 and verse 22.
出埃及记的三十四章的二十二节，这里面它要叫另外一个名字，叫七七节。
And there we find that it's called the Feast of Weeks. And that was because.It was celebrated 7 weeks and 1 day after the waving of the sheaf of first fruits.
那为什么叫七七节呢？就是因为它是在这个把初熟的禾捆在耶和华面前摇一摇的这个初熟节开始呢，数七个星期，再加一天，就是那个日子就是五旬节了。
So these two feasts, the feast of first fruits and the Feast of Pentecost, they're linked together by these 7 Sabbaths.
所以这个初熟节和五旬节之间呢，他们有一个联系，就是这七个安息日。
And it's a time, of the ripening of the harvest.
因为这段时间呢，是整个庄稼成熟的时候。
The wheat would be ripening, the grapes would be ripening, the olives and the figs, and so on.
那小麦啊，无花果啊，葡萄啊，橄榄啊等等都成熟了。
Then, before the main harvest can begin, a new grain offering must be offered.
但是在这个整个大丰收开始之前哈，要先把这个一个素祭啊，要先上新素祭，叫新素祭要献上。
So go back to Leviticus chapter 23 again.
我们再回到利未记的二十三章。
And verse 16.
十六节。
And they were to count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath.Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
到第七个安息日的次日，共计五十天，又要将新素祭献给耶和华。
That is before the main harvest can begin. There is this new offering.
所以这个献这个新素祭啊，是在这个主要的丰收的工作开始之前。
And we'll see that this offering is a special offering. It's new.In the sense that there is offered with leaven, and it's different that there's 2 baked loaves. An interesting, this is something entirely different, as we'll discover.
我们可以看到这个素祭啊，之所以叫新素祭啊，因为它的确有与众不同的特点。一个呢，它是有酵的；另外呢，它是两个饼。所以我们要一起来看一下它的这个特点。
So they were to bake those.2 loaves, and they were to be brought to the priest, and then he would wave them before the Lord as a first fruits to the Lord.
所以这两个饼呢，是烤熟了以后呢，要带到祭司那里，然后要在耶和华面前摇一摇，作为初熟的果子。
And then they would also offer their attendant sacrifices and offerings of the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the grain offering, and the peace offerings.
那另外我们可以看到除了这两个饼呢还有很多其他的祭物要献上、有这个燔祭有平安祭有赎罪祭、还有这个素祭奠祭等等
And that day we read in verse 21 It was a holy convocation to the Lord、
而且在21节里面这里说、这日呢也是要宣告为圣会的
That is they were to come there at the templeAnd they were to be in the presence of the Lord. It was the Lord that was calling them to have an assembly in his presence.
所以就是在这一天呢他们也要到圣殿去来到耶和华的面前。因为这个节期是耶和华呼唤他们呼召他们来到这里的来到神的面前的聚集的。
Now, for a farmer, it would seem inconvenient,just before the harvest, make a long journey up to the temple and spend that time that would be necessary, perhaps, to prepare for the harvest. It seemed like an inopportune time to do it.
但是对于一个农民来说在马上就要开始大丰收的时候要花上时间走一个很远的路到圣殿去这好像似乎是一个不太合适的时候因为他本来可以用这个时间来预备接下去的这个收割的这个季节的。
And though it was a busy time of year, everything was ripening, it was for them to be a memorial that all their blessings came from the Lord.
但正是在这个万物所有的出产都在成熟的时候呢他们需要来纪念一切的祝福都是从神来的。
And that they might acknowledge him by giving him the first fruits of their harvest.
他们要通过把这个初熟之物献给耶和华这样的方式呢来这个承认来认可就祝福都是从神来的。
Well, that's so much for the Israelites, but what about for us?
所以我们刚才讲的呢都是这个节期对以色列人的意义那对我们来说呢又是怎样呢
Now, we know that those Old Testament rituals, they were types for us.To learn New Testament truths.
我们知道这旧约的仪式都是一些预表为了让我们理解这新约的真理的。
In other words, you could think of the Old Testament as kind of like a picture book, illustrating New Testament truth.
所以换句话说呢我们可以把旧约看成是一本图画书就是来用图示的方式来解释这个新约的真理的。
So let's look at what the Feast of Pentecost might mean to you and I as Christians, if you are a Christian, that is.
那如果你是基督徒呢那现在我们就一起来看一下这个五旬节对我们基督徒来说它到底预表的是什么意思。
As I mentioned earlier, the Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Pentecost, they're very closely connected.
我刚才也提到了初熟节和这个五旬节之间呢是有紧密的联系的。
With both, you'll notice that an offering of first fruits is presented by the priest and waved before the Lord.
就是这初熟的庄稼是要由这个祭司在耶和华面前摇一摇的。
But of course, these presentations are quite different.
但是它这个两个的仪式是不一样的。
Now, if you go back to verse 10, where we read of the sheaf of first fruits that is waved before the Lord, that spoke of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
利未记23章的10节我们上星期学过就这个 这里面讲的这个初熟的庄稼一捆呢，带给祭司摇一摇的，这个是代表主耶稣基督的复活。
We read last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20 that now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those that slept.
嗯，我们也读到对应的新约的经文，就是哥林多前书的十五章的二十节，就是但基督已经从死里复活，成为睡了之人初熟的果子。
Now, the word first fruits in verse 11 and the first verse 10 rather, and the word first fruits in verse 17, they are two different words.
嗯，所以我们看啊，第十节这里面说的是初熟的庄稼，然后在这个十七节里面是初熟之物，这个呢在原文里是两个不同的词。
When we speak of the sheaf of first fruits, that means first in the sense of first in rank, first in quality.
嗯，所以这个在十节里面说的这个初熟的庄稼啊，是在等级上，在质量上都是第一等的。
And there, and also.It's first, it's singular. It's in the singular. It isn't first fruits. It's in the singular. There's only one first fruit, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
嗯，而且这个在原文里，这个 first fruits 是初熟的果子呢，是单数，就只有一个，不是很多果子，是只代表主耶稣基督自己。
Now the first fruit in verse 17, it means the first.Ripened, the first to ripen. That's all it means.
对，这个在十七节里面啊，这个中文翻译的很准确，它就是初熟之物，就是最初成熟的东西。
So the meaning of the sheaf of first fruits meant that Christ's resurrection meant that the sacrifice that he made was accepted by the Father.
那初熟的禾捆呢，是意味着主耶稣基督是从死里复活了，说明他献的证明呢，他献的祭呢是神是悦纳了，是满足了。
And the fact that he was raised from the dead shows that that sacrifice was perfect and accepted by the Father.
嗯，因为他既然能从死里复活，就证明就向我们显明他的献祭是完美的，是。神是让神满意的。
Now the loaves, they represented first fruits as well. But as I said, they were baked right at the beginning of the harvest.
嗯，那当然这个五旬节献的这个两个饼呢，也是初熟的植物做成的，它是在这个大丰收之前要献的。
We see these two harvests pictured for us in John chapter 12.
嗯，那这两个的丰收歌呢，两个丰收呢，是在约翰福音的十二章啊，能够看得更清楚。
And verse 24.
嗯，二十四节。
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain.
我实实在在地告诉你们，一粒麦子不落在地里死了，仍旧是一粒；若是死了，就结出许多子粒来。
The Lord Jesus was that grain that fell into the ground, that was planted and died, and rose again, and a harvest will follow.
嗯，主耶稣基督呢，就是这一粒麦子，他被种在地里了，也就是他死了，然后他复活了，就结出了许多的子粒来，带来了后续的丰收。
So those two loaves, they represented the first fruits of the harvest to come.
嗯，那这两个饼呢，就代表马上将要来的这个全部的这个大丰收的来临。
Now you might ask.Why two loaves?
那你可能会问，为什么是两个饼呢？
And they represent the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles.
因为它这两个饼代表两群人，就一群呢是犹太人，一群是外邦人。
Ephesians chapter 2.
看以弗所书的二章。
And verse 14.
十四节。
Here, Paul is writing to the Gentiles at Ephesus.
这个呢，这卷书呢是保罗写给以弗所教会的外邦信徒的。
And in verse 12, before that, he said, "You were at that time without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the promise, from the covenants of promise, having no hope." And without God in the world.
二章十二节，那时你们与基督无关，在以色列国民以外，在所应许的诸约上是局外人，并且活在世上，没有指望，没有神。
So the Jew and the Gentile were separated by the laws that were given to Israel. They separated them from all the other nations of the world.
因为神在西乃上赐给他们以色列人的律法啊，使以色列人和外邦人就分隔开来了。
Then in verse 13 he says, but now he says, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus.
十三节，你们从前远离神的人，如今却在基督耶稣里靠着他的血已经得亲近了。
Just as believing Jews had been brought into the blessings of Christ, so now the Gentile has been brought into the blessings as well.
所以就像犹太人也是因着信就被带到了在基督里的祝福一样，外邦人呢也是因着信也被带到了基督的祝福里面。
And in verse 14, he goes on to say that, for he himself is our peace.Who has made both, that is Jew and Gentile, both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation.
然后在十四节里他接着说，因他使我们和睦，将两下合而为一，拆毁了中间隔断的墙。
Now that separation, what separated them was that the law of Moses. And he continues by saying that in verse 15.
那这个中间隔断的墙是什么呢？就是神借着摩西所传的律法。
So he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace.
所以十五节接着说，他说，并且以自己身体废掉冤仇，就是那记在律法上的规条，那就是摩西律法里面的十诫啊，以及其他的规定，为要将两下借着自己造成一个新人，如此便成就了和睦。
So it was the commandment that separated the Jew from the Gentile, but the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, he completely fulfilled the law.In his flesh. And now, through his death, he can join the two, Jew and Gentile, on the same basis of faith.
所以是这个摩西当时所传的律法啊，以及十诫所代表的律法呢，是外邦人和犹太人分开。但是主耶稣在地上呢，他完全成就了律法，他也借着死啊，废除了这个律法的权势。和冤仇，然后他复活了以后呢，就是外邦人和犹太人有了一个共同的基础，都能够在主里面得到祝福。
And he further explains that in verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, the separation.
所以十六节，既在十字架上灭了冤仇啊。冤仇就是这种外邦人和犹太人之间的分隔，便借这十字架使两下归为一体，与神和好了。
And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off, that's the Gentiles, that's the Ephesians, and to those, that's the Jew, who are near.
十七节，并且来传和平的福音给你们远处的人，这远处的人呢，就指向以弗所教会这些外邦的 外邦人，也给那近处的人，近处的人就指犹太人。
And then he finishes by saying there, for through him, through Christ, we both have access by one spirit to the Father.
嗯，所以在十八节的时候，他总结说，因为我们两下借着他被一个圣灵所感，得以进到父面前。
So those two loaves that were lifted up and waved before the Lord, they represented the two, Jew and Gentile. And they were held up in the arm, on the hands of the priest and waved as one before the Lord.
所以呢，这个在五旬节里被举起来，并且要在耶和华面前摇一摇的这两个饼啊，就代表着两群人，一群犹太人，一群外邦人，他们都放在祭司的手里，同时合为一体。
And Christ, when he was exalted to the right hand of God, he baptized both Jew and Gentile in the Holy Spirit. We read that Acts 2 and verse 33.
而且呢，在主耶稣基督升天到父神的右边以后呢，他也是用圣灵啊，同时使犹太人和外邦人同时受洗，这是在使徒行传的二章。
Acts 2 verse 33 says, Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear.
他既被神的右手高举。或作他既高举在神的右边，又从父受了所应许的圣灵，就把你们所看见、所听见的浇灌下来。
And so, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please.
我们再翻到哥林多前书的十二章。
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13.
十三节。
For by one Spirit,We were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit.
我们不拘是犹太人，是希腊人，是为奴的，是自主的，都从一位圣灵受洗，成了一个身体，饮于一位圣灵。
And so, both Jew and Gentile were baptized into one body.
所以不管是犹太人还是外邦人，都是受洗归入了一个身体。
But those two loaves, they represent the Jew and the Gentile, but they're both lifted up by the same priest in the same action before God, and they are united as one.
所以这两个饼虽然代表的不同的人，一个是代表犹太人，一个代表外邦人，但是它是被同一个祭司。举起来的，也是在同一个动作中被带到神的面前摇一摇的。
So, in the Passover, then we see the death of Christ. Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us.
所以在逾越节里呢，我们看到了基督的死，因为他就是在逾越节里面献祭的那个羔羊。
In the sheaf of first fruits.We see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his exaltation.
那在这个初熟节呢，我们看到了主耶稣基督的复活，以及他的被父神升到天上。
And in the feast of Pentecost, we see there the coming of the Holy Spirit to form the church, one body out of two, Jew and Gentile.
然后在这个五旬节呢，我们看到的是圣灵降下啊，使这个犹太人和外邦人这两个合一，能够建立一个共同的身体。
Now the coming of the Holy Spirit, of course, was an Old Testament prophecy.
那圣灵会赐下，这是一个旧约的预言。
We'll look at two scriptures, Isaiah 44 verse 3.
我们看两段经文一个是以赛亚书的44章的三节。
He refers at verse 43, verse 19, they're connected chapters, but there's the promise. He says in verse 19 of chapter 43, "Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?"
我们再看往前看那个43节的19节啊，它是有这个上下文联系的。19节说，看哪，我要做一件新事，如今要发现，你们岂不知道吗？
And that new thing in verse 3 of chapter 44, he says, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants."
那这个新事，就是19节说的这件新事是什么呢？就是44章的3节，因为我要将水浇灌口渴的人，将河浇灌干旱之地，我要将我的灵浇灌你的后裔。
So the coming of the Holy Spirit was prophesied in the Old Testament.
所以在旧约的时候呢，就已经预言圣灵会来。
Again in Joel chapter 2.
我们再看约珥书的2章。
Joel chapter 2 and verse 18.
18节。
I've got Joel chapter 2, and I'm sorry, I've got, no, verse 28, sorry.
28节，不是18节，是28节。
And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
以后我要将我的灵浇灌凡有血气的。
And of course, that was quoted in the New Testament by Peter to explain what had happened that day on the day of Pentecost.
而且这句经文啊，是在彼得曾经在新约里面引用啊，就是向众人来解释在五旬节这一天发生的事情到底是怎么回事。
Now it wasn't a fulfillment, complete a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy.
但是这个约珥书的预言啊，在这里的预言并没有完全的应验。
But it was identifying the person of the Holy Spirit himself on that day of Pentecost.
但是在五旬节这一天呢，我们的确是认识了这个作为第三，就是这个三位一体的独立位格的圣灵这一位格。
The nation of Israel had rejected the Lord Jesus.
那以色列这个作为一个整个的民族呢，他们是拒绝了耶稣基督。
So his spirit could not be poured out on an unbelieving people.
所以呢，圣灵就是主耶稣基督的灵，他也不可能全部降临在那个不信那些不信的人的身上。
And so the Lord Jesus, when he died and was buried, rose again and exalted to the right hand of the Father.He promised that the believer, the both Jew and Gentile, would receive the promise of the Father.
但是主耶稣基督啊，他曾应许，就是在他受死复活，然后升天之后，他应许这个圣灵会降在所有信的人的身上。
The Spirit will be poured out on all Israel.In a coming day when Jesus comes to earth in power and glory.
那有一天呢，当主耶稣再来到地上，带着他的全能，在他的全能和荣耀里再回来的时候呢，这圣灵会浇灌在以色列全家的身上。
But in the meantime, the Spirit would be poured out on this new body, this new thing, this new offering.Of Jew and Gentile, which would be formed into the body of Christ.
但是在中间这段时间呢，这圣灵呢会浇灌在这个新的身体，这个新的献上的这个祭啊，就是这两个饼，这个新的事物的身上，就是教会的身上。
So on that very night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he promised his disciples that he would send them the Holy Spirit.
所以主耶稣在这个他被卖的前夜，在这个逾越节的那个马可楼的大那个房子里面，主耶稣应许他们圣灵会来。
In verse chapter 14 of John, John 14, 16.
约翰福音的十四章的十六节。
He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you.
约翰福音十四章的十六和十七节，我要求父，父就另外赐给你们一位保惠师，或作训慰师，叫他永远与你们同在，就是真理的圣灵，乃世人不能接受的，因为不见他，也不认识他，你们却认识他，因他常与你们同在，也要在你们里面。
The Spirit was with them at the time, but then after Jesus died and was raised and exalted, then the Spirit would be in them.
当时呢，圣灵呢是跟门徒们同在的。但是呢，在主耶稣基督死了、复活了，并被高举到父神的右边以后呢，这圣灵将要住在信徒的里面。
And after he rose from the dead, he promised them that the Holy Spirit would baptize them not many days from then. That was in Acts chapter 1, verse 5.
而且主耶稣基督曾应许他们啊，就是他复活以后应许他们，就是圣灵会使他们会给他们施洗，而且是在不多几日之后。
就是在《使
徒行传》的一章。
Reading from verse 4.
从第四节开始读。
Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said.You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
耶稣和他们聚集的时候，嘱咐他们说，不要离开耶路撒冷，要等候父所应许的，就是你们听见我说过的。约翰是用水施洗，但不多几日，你们要受圣灵的洗。
The promise of the Father that he had promised the Old Testament saints,which they had foregone by their disobedience, now he's going to baptize, he's going to send the promise of the Father and baptize this new body, this new offering, baptize them in the Holy Spirit.
就是本来在旧约里面应许的是应该浇灌在以色列这个民族身上的这个圣灵因为他们的悖逆就以色列民暂时被放在一边现在呢这个圣灵呢要给这个新的身体就是这个新的献上的这个新素祭就是代表教会要给他们要受圣灵的洗
So they were to stay in Jerusalem for that 10 more days and then there would be the feast of Pentecost would take place and that would be when the Holy Spiritcame upon them.
所以主耶稣升天以后他们还要在耶路撒冷再等十天然后就是在等十天以后呢就是在五旬节的这一天那圣灵就会降下落在他们的身上。
So, to recapitulate, the Feast of Pentecost then is, it's a type of God's people, Jew and Gentile, gathered together by the Holy Spirit,representing the harvest yet to come.
所以五旬节啊它整个的一个属灵的预表呢就是属神的民呢不管是犹太人还是外邦人呢他们是被圣灵聚集在一起成为一个新的身体然后预表将要到来的大丰收。
So, okay, now, we want to just look at the interval. There was a 50-day interval there.
那我们接下来看呢，就是从初熟节到五旬节中间的这个五十天的间隔期。
We mentioned that in some ways it's inconvenient for the farmer to spend that amount of time away from his fields when they're all getting ripe.
我们前面也提到啊，就是对于农民来说呢，在 庄稼和地里出产都已经成熟的时候，要让他们花时间来到耶路撒冷去过这个节啊，对他来说是不方便的，是耽误事的。
So if for Israel it was a time of the ripening of the harvest, for God it was a time to prepare and ripen his people for the coming of the Holy Spirit.
但是对以色列人来说呢，这段时间是庄稼成熟要预备收割的时候，但是对耶和华神来说呢，他是要预备他的民呢，是要预备好接受圣灵的降临了这个时刻。
Now, the number, just want to look at the numbers for a few minutes.
所以我们先来看看这个数字。
The number 10, it's the number often associated with testing in the scripture.
那十这个数字呢，在圣经里面常常是和测试、试验连接在一起。
Revelation chapter 2.
我们看看启示录的二章。
And verse 10.
十节。
Here the Lord is speaking to the church, the persecuted church at Smyrna.
在这里呢是这段话是写给这个正在受逼迫的施美拿教会的。
And they were undergoing tremendous persecution.
因为他们正在经历极大的这个患难呢，极大的这个逼迫。
It would be a testing of their faith.
这对他们的信心呢，是一个很大的一个考验。
And he says in verse 10, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer." Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.
第十节，你将要受的苦，你不用怕。魔鬼要把你们中间几个人下在监里，叫你们被试炼。你们必受患难十日。你务要至死忠心，我就赐给你那生命的冠冕。
So they were tested those days. It's been history has shown us that the early church underwent 10 great persecutions.
这里面说的这个时日啊，在这个历史上，在教会的历史上啊，正好对应的就是那个时候的初期教会受到的十次的这个逼迫。
Now another place where we find there are a number of places, but another place is in the Old Testament where the Lord said to Israel after they had failed him over and over again, tested his patience over and over again, he said, "You have tested me these 10 times."
还有一次提到这个十次呢，是在旧约里面，就是在旷野的时候，那以色列人一次一次的试探神呢，就是试探神的这个忍耐，然后神对他们说，你们在旷野里试探过我十次。
Now, the number 40, it's also a period of testing.
那四十这个数字呢，也是跟这个试探、试炼、考验相关的。
Of course, it's a multiple, isn't it, of 40? Or a multiple of 10, rather, sorry.
而且它是等于是四个十次啊，就是更多。
That's 4 times 10.
就是四乘十。
And when we come to the number 40 as a number that's associated with testing, there are many examples in scripture.
所以说到四十啊，代表这个试验这个概念啊，在圣经里面出现过，有好多处经文都是这样的。
Moses was 40 years in the school of God.
摩西呢，在这个神的这个学校里面啊，四十年啊，就在旷野放羊呢。
That's 40 years before he was found to be able to lead God's people.
所以四十年以后啊，神才认为他现在是可以去带领以色列民了。
the children of Israel. They were instructed and tested for 40 years in the wilderness.
然后以色列民呢，也是在旷野里面啊，被神教导，被神试验 40年啊。
And then, of course, when we have the example of the Lord Jesus, where he was in the wilderness 40 days being tested or tempted by the devil.
另外，主耶稣基督的例子也是这样，他在旷野里面40天受魔鬼的试探。
Now, when you and I go through a period of testing, it's really God's way of preparing us for something better, something good.
你和我在经受试炼的时候，都是神要预备我们，准备迎接更好的、更美的东西了。It
proves our faith, and it proves our confidence in Him to get us through those times of trial.
所以我们经过这个试验以后呢，就证明了我们的信心，证明我们对神的信靠。So
for 40 days, we read in Acts chapter 1, the Lord was with his disciples after his resurrection.
然后我们在使徒行传的一章里面读到，就是主耶稣复活以后，他和他的门徒待在一起有40日之久。
Acts chapter 1.
使徒行传的一章。
And verse 1.
一节。
Luke is writing this history, and he says, the former account, that is his book of Luke, he said, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
从一节读到三节，提亚菲罗，我已经做了前书，前书呢就是指路加福音，这里呢路加继续在记录这个历史，论到耶稣开头一切所行所教训的，直到他借着圣灵吩咐所拣选的使徒，以后被接上升的日子为止。 他受害之后，用许多的凭据将自己活活的显给使徒看，40天之久向他们显现，讲说神国的事。So
during that 40 days, he was with them, appearing to them. He was teaching them, giving them commandments.
所以在这40天，主是跟门徒们在一起的，也显给他们看，也教导他们，也给他们一些命令和使命。
He was preparing them.
所以是在40天里，主是在预备他们的。
It was, as it were, a time of ripening.
那就像这个庄稼在逐渐成熟的这个时间。
Because it was during this time that the Lord Jesus gave those instructions to the foundation of the church.
因为在这段时间里，主耶稣给他们的一些教导，就建立了这个教会的基石。
They did not yet have the Holy Spirit given to them, but he was with them in the Spirit.
那时候圣灵还没有赐下来，没有赐给他们，但是呢，主是跟他们在一起的，主是在圣灵里。So
it was a time of ripening, a time of preparation, a time of testing their ideas and their faith.
所以这段时间呢，可以看作是这庄稼在逐渐成熟的时间，也是主在试验他们的信心啊，在考验他们的时候。And
then he told them, he said, after 40 days, he said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Verse 4.
然后第四节呢，就是这40天已经过完了，这个时候呢，主跟他们说，你们要留在耶路撒冷。
But they were to wait then, he says, for the promise of the Father, the coming of the Holy Spirit.
他们要在耶路撒冷等父神所应许的圣灵降下来。Now
that 10 days would have seemed like a long time for the disciples.
这10天对于使徒们来说是会觉得非常漫长的。They
didn't have the Lord with them.
这时候主已经不跟他们在一起了。
And the Holy Spirit had not yet come down to fill them.
那这时候圣灵呢也还没有降下来充满他们。
It was a great time of testing, that those 10 days.
所以这十天呢对他们来说是一个极大的考验的时候。
But then, on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 1.
然后就是到五旬节了,这是二章的一节,使徒行传的二章一节。
The Spirit comes down.
圣灵降下来了。Verse
1 of chapter 2.
二章一节。
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
五旬节到了,这个英文里面叫 fully come, 就是完全到了的意思,门徒都聚集在一处。
They had not departed from Jerusalem. They were all in one. All of them were there.
所以他们真的没有离开耶路撒冷，而且所有的门徒们都聚集在一起。
Now, I want to put some attention to the word "come" or "fully come" as it's properly translated.
所以我这里要特别强调这个 "fully come" 就是这个到了，或者说完全到了这个词。
I don't know if your Chinese translation translates that when the day of Pentecost had fully come or just had come.
Just come.
Just come.
Yeah.
The word literally means had completely come.
所以我们中文里面是没有这个完全的这个意思的，但是这个原文的意思就是它完全到了的意思。
Remember that it was very strictly counted the days, 50 days, and then there would be the feast.
因为我们记得它这个数这个五旬节是一个严格的计算方法的，就是七加一啊，一直到七乘七加一，一直到这个五十天，到这个时候节期就到了。There
was no time to be unfulfilled. It happened exactly as God had promised. 50 days.
所以就是在这一天啊，恰恰就在这一天，神的应许是要应验五十天的时候。
And that would be the time, 9 o'clock in the morning, we read that Peter says in verse 15 of that second chapter.
那个时候应该是这一天的上午九点钟，因为这个是在后面二章十五节里面，彼得说的刚到四出。
The people, there were some that thought that they were drunk when they were speaking in tongues, but Peter's answer was in verse 15.
那个时候因为他们说方言嘛，有的人就以为他们喝醉了，那彼得呢回应他们就是在十五节里面。
He says it's too early in the day for people to be drunk.
他说因为现在时间还早啊，我们不可能喝酒喝醉了。He
says these aren't drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day.
他说，你们想这些人是醉了，其实不是醉了，因为时候刚到四出。The
third hour, of course, is 9 o'clock in the morning.
按照这个希伯来的这个计算方法， third hour 就是
That would be the time of the offering of the burnt offering on the altar of burnt offering in the temple. Mm-hmm. And inside there would be a priest who would be offering incense upon the altar and trimming the lamps. And then the sheaf, the two loaves then would be brought forward and waved before the Lord at that time of the morning.
那在早晨九点钟的时候是在干嘛呢？就是在祭坛上献燔祭的时候，同时呢，祭司也要进到这个幔子里啊，去点上香，也修剪那个灯台的那个修理修持灯台的时候，同时呢，这些都做完了以后呢，那祭司会把那两个饼啊，就是这个五旬节的这个馨素祭啊，带到神的面前摇一摇。
Now let's return to the book of Leviticus chapter 23 and pick up something there.
嗯，那我们再回到利未记的二十三章，我们再接着看这个五旬节的这个具体的那细节。
In verse 16,
嗯，十六节。
We note that it is a new grain offering, a new type of offering.
嗯，十六节告诉我们，这是一个新素祭，是一个新的品种的、新的种类的这个素祭。
This was to be baked with leaven.
嗯，因为它是要有酵的，烤的时候要加酵的。
Now, there was only one other offering that was.Where leaven was allowed.
嗯，只有另外还有只有一个祭啊，是允许里面有酵的。
Which we won't look at tonight. It was the peace offering, but it has to do with it wasn't a burnt offering.
嗯，那这个祭是什么呢？就是平安祭。我们今天不去具体查考了。但是那平安祭不是一个馨香的火祭。
There was no leaven allowed on a burnt offering.
嗯，因为在燔祭里面啊，就是献给神的祭物里面是不能有酵的。
Leaven speaks of sin, symbolizing evil.
因为酵呢是代表罪的，它是代表邪恶的。
And all the offerings burnt upon the altar, none of them had leaven, because they all speak of the Lord Jesus Christ.
嗯，因为在祭坛上烧的所有的祭物啊，都是不能有酵的，因为在祭坛上。烧光的献给神的都是代表主耶稣的。
So these two loaves of bread, they were not burnt on the altar. They were just held up in God's presence and waved before Him.
嗯，那这两个饼呢？这个有两个有酵的饼呢？他们是不烧在祭坛上的，它只是在神的面前摇一摇的。
And what they represent? They represented the Christians.
嗯。
That though they were cleansed by the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, blessed with every spiritual blessing, but there's still sin indwelling in them.
嗯，那这两个饼代表什么呢？是代表我们基督徒。虽然我们基督徒已经被主耶稣基督的宝血洗净了，也有圣灵住在我们里面了，但是我们里面还是有罪的。
Now, when it was baked, of course, that leaven was no more active, was it?
嗯，但是它是烤熟的，所以这个酵呢是已经不起作用了，就不能继续发大了。
It had been baked in the fire.
嗯，因为它是经过火烤过了。
But the effect was still there.
嗯，但是这个酵的影响还在那里。
And so there's still sin indwelling the believer.
嗯，所以在我们里，在信徒的里面还是有罪的。
Even though those disciples were baptized in the Spirit and they were filled with the Spirit, they still had sin indwelling in them.
嗯，那虽然这些圣徒们被圣灵施洗了，也有圣灵充满了，但是他们里面依然是有罪在里面。
But God.Even though he knows that, he's provided with those loaves a covering sacrifice.
嗯，那神是知道这一切的，所以他用这两个这个馨素祭啊，是来遮盖这个罪的。
Notice verse 17.
嗯，我们看十七节。
Or verse 18, sorry.
十八节。
And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs of the first year without blemish, one young bull and two rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings and an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall offer a sacrifice, one kid of the goats as a sin offering.And two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering.
十八十九节，又要将一岁没有残疾的羊羔七只，公牛犊一只，公绵羊两只和饼一只奉上。这些与同献的素祭和奠祭要作为燔祭献给耶和华，就是做馨香的火祭献给耶和华。你 你们要献一只公山羊为赎罪祭，两只一岁的公绵羊为公绵羊羔为平安祭。
The sin offering, completely answers for the question of the leaven that's in the loaves.
那这个赎罪祭啊，就是回答了这个饼里面，这两个饼里面有酵这个问题，满足了这个需要了。
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21,
在哥林多后书的五章二十一节
it says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
神使那无罪的替我们成为罪，好叫我们在他里面成为神的义。
That's the sin offering.
这就是赎罪祭了。
There's a difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering.
那赎罪祭和赎愆祭是有区别的。
The trespass offering is offerings for sin. When Christ died, he died for our sins, that we might see them no more forever.
那赎愆祭就是主耶稣在死的时候，他是为我们的罪死了，我们再也看不见这些罪了。
But sins are only the fruit, not the root of the problem.
但是这个罪行呢，它是这个罪性的一个果子，它不是根。
We sin because we are sinners.
我们之所以犯罪，是因为我们是个罪人。
So not only has Christ forgiven us our sins, but he's died for sin in the flesh to do away with the very root of sin.
那主耶稣不仅为我们的罪行而死，而是他在这个肉身上也替我们的罪性死了，把这个根也去除了。
He not only died for our sins, but here in 1 Corinthians 5, 21 it says, he became sin for us.
所以他不仅为我们的罪行而死啊，而且他这里面二十一节里说，他说替我们成为罪。
He was made sin, so that we might be the righteousness of God in him.
就是神使他成为罪，为的是让我们在他里面成为神的义。
So when the priest offered those two loaves that day in the temple, they were accepted by God because of the sacrifice for sin. The sin offering had been offered.
那之所以这个两个饼里面虽然有酵，但是在耶和华面前献上的时候也被悦纳呢，是因为有着后面的这个赎罪祭。
But before the sin offering, God got his portion first before us.
对，在献赎罪祭之前呢，神要先得着他的这个部分，就是燔祭。
There was a burnt offering on the altar.
那就是在祭坛上所烧掉的这个燔祭。
Seven lambs, it says. That's the perfection of acceptance. Number seven, the number of perfection.
那这里面说有羊羔七只啊，七就是一个代表一个完全数。
One young bull was sacrificed.
那还有一只公牛犊也被献祭了。
That speaks of the perfect servant who completed the Father's will.
这公牛犊啊，就代表这个完全完成了父神旨意的这个仆人呢，忠心的仆人。
We have two rams were sacrificed.
还有就是两只公绵羊。
And these rams, they speak of the strength of the Lord Jesus.
这公绵羊呢，是代表了主耶稣基督的力量。
There was also, in verse 18, there was a grain offering as well.
当十八节里还说呢，还是有一起还有献铜签的，还有素祭。
A fine flour.
细面做成的。
No leaven in that.
这个里面是没有酵的，这个素祭。
That speaks of his perfect manhood, his life that he lived before God.
这个素祭呢，这个细面做成的素祭是代表主的人性啊，就是他在这地上所过的圣洁完美的生命。
And then there was a drink offering that was poured out.
另外还有铜线的是有那个奠祭，就是浇下来的，浇灌。
That speaks of the life of the Lord Jesus, which he poured out himself unto death.
这是代表主耶稣基督倾倒出来的生命啊，直到死，倾倒去死的这个生命。
Now all except the drink offering were placed upon the altar of burnt offering and ascended up to God as a sweet smelling savor to him.
那这个所有的这个作为燔祭的这个祭牲啊，以及这个素祭和奠祭都摆在一起放在这个祭坛上被烧掉，那么升上去的这个烟呢，是就是那馨香的火祭啊，献给神的。
And so in that offering being accepted by God, the two loaves, picturing the believer, we have been accepted because God accepted that sacrifice.
那在这个被神悦纳的这个燔祭献祭的过程中啊，那这两个饼所代表的这个我们基督徒啊，也被神所悦纳了。
But again, there's one more thing here.
那这里还有一件事情。
That is in verse 19 and 20.
那就是十九和二十节。
That is Leviticus 23.
也在这个利未记二十三章了。
He talks about the sin offering, but then he mentions two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering.
十九节前面讲到的是赎罪祭，后面呢紧接着讲到要献两只一岁的公绵羊，公绵羊羔为平安祭。
The two lambs and the two loaves.Were waved together before the Lord.
那这两只公绵羊羔啊，和这两个饼啊，是一起在耶和华面前要摇一摇的。
It says in verse 20, the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest.
这就是二十节说的，祭司要把这些和初熟麦子做的饼一同做摇祭，在耶和华面前摇一摇，这是献与耶和华为圣物，归给祭司的。
So they have the two lambs and the two loaves, and they're waved before the Lord. That speaks of the Lamb of God, is it not? Who came to take away the sin of the world.
所以我们看在耶和华面前摇的是有什么呢？有两只公绵羊羔，还有这两个饼。这个公绵羊羔的代表就是神的羔羊啊。
And if God accepted the lambs, he accepted the loaves.
那正如神也悦纳了这个他的羔羊啊，所以也悦纳，也同时会悦纳这两个饼。
So Christ's perfectness is seen in those sacrifices. Not our sin. He doesn't see our sinfulness.But it's Christ's perfectness that he sees.
所以在这所有的献祭当中啊，神是看见了主耶稣基督的完全，而不是看见看见了我们的罪，他是看见了主的完全。
And on the day of Pentecost, the church, filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, the body of Christ, was presented to God in all his value, all the value and excellency of Christ.
所以在五旬节这一天啊，教会作为一个基督的身体被圣灵所洗所充满，它是在神眼里完全的是体现的是他的这个圣子的价值。
And that through the power of the Holy Spirit.
这都是靠着圣灵的能力。
When the Lord Jesus was exalted to the Father's right hand, he sent the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned.
我们刚才提到，当主耶稣基督回到父神的右边以后呢，他就把圣灵派下来了。
And if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please.
翻到以弗所书的一章。
Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23.
22和23节。
the context is of Christ's exaltation to the Father's right hand. We see that in verses 20 and 21.
那这个上下文是什么呢? 就是20节和21节里说的, 就是主耶稣基督升到这个高天之上啊, 坐在父神的右边。
And so he, through the Spirit, has baptized this body of believers there on the day of Pentecost as first fruits.
所以在五旬节这一天呢, 就圣灵给这个, 教会, 就是这个, 基督的身体施洗啊。
And in verse 22, it says, And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
所以就是22节说的, 又将万有伏在他的脚下, 使他为教会做万有之首, 教会是他的身体, 是那充满万有者所充满的。
On the day that he was, on that day, when he was exalted and sent the Holy Spirit, the body was joined to the head. That's a precious truth.
所以就在那一天呢, 就是圣灵给这个教会施洗以后呢, 这个身体就和元首连在一起了, 这是一个非常宝贵的真理。
And so the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, it marks the beginning of the great harvest.
所以这个五旬节啊, 它是标志着这个大丰收的开始。
From then on, believers would be added to the body.
从那一天开始呢, 这个信徒就不断地被加到这个身体里面去。
And it would be the beginning of God's great harvest.
那也就是说神的大丰收啊, 从那一天开始。Sometimes
this age in which we're living is called the age of the Holy Spirit.
所以有的时候我们现在管我们 活的这个时代啊, 叫做圣灵的时代。Because
the Holy Spirit is now in this age, it's convicting sinners of their sin and their need of a Savior.
因为在这个时代呢, 圣灵呢, 就像这些罪人们啊, 告诉他们他们是个显明, 他们是个罪人, 而且告诉他们他们需要一个救主。
And the Holy Spirit also, it reveals, he reveals, rather, the person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus.
那同时呢, 圣灵也向我们启示, 主耶稣基督自己, 就是我们的救主。
And then the Holy Spirit enlightens the heart of those that come to Jesus to see him as the all-sufficient one.
而且凡是来到主面前来的人呢, 圣灵都照亮他们的心啊, 能看到这一位, 能够满足他们一切需要的这一位。
The Holy Spirit leads the sinner to bow their knee at the feet of the Savior and receive him as their own Savior.
是圣灵啊, 带领每一个罪人呢, 来到主的面前呢, 跪在主的面前呢, 就是向他, 敬拜, 接受主, 做他们个人的救主。
It's the Spirit now that reveals Christ through the Word.
而且现在圣灵也是不断地在借着神的话 来启示给我们基督耶稣。
And when a sinner believes, the Spirit now seals that believer, that new believer seals them with the Holy Spirit of promise.
所以这个当一个罪人信主了以后啊, 这个圣灵就给他印上了印了, 就是他就确保能够得到所有的应许。
And this age of the Holy Spirit is sometimes called the age of grace.
有的时候呢, 我们也把我们现在的这个出的这个时代, 圣灵的时代又叫恩典时代。
Because it's all of God's grace.
因为这都是神的恩典啊。
There's nothing that we can do.
我们什么也做不了。
It's by grace we've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God.
我们得救是本乎恩也因着信啊, 因为这是从神来的一个礼物。
Now, one last thought. The Feast of Pentecost also marked the beginning of Christ's high priestly ministry.
嗯，最后一点啊，就是五旬节呢，也标志着这个主耶稣基督的大祭司的服事的开始。
He not only saves us, but he keeps us.
他不仅救了我们，他也保守我们。
Previous to the resurrection and the exaltation of Christ, Christ did not act as a priest because he was not of the priestly order of Aaron.
嗯，那在主复活升天之前呢，他是不承担这个祭司的职分的，因为他不是亚伦的后裔。
But with an obedience to the Father, he laid down his life as the sacrifice, the victim. God raised him from the dead and made him a priest after a new order.
嗯，但是当他顺服父神的旨意啊，把自己的生命的献上以后呢，完成了神的工作，又神又使他复活以后呢，神就赋予他在一个新的制度下的一个大祭司的职分了。
And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10.
希伯来书的五章十节。
We read that he was called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
嗯，五章十节，并蒙神照着麦基洗德的等次称他为大祭司。
And verses 5 and 6, we read, So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he, that is the Father, who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also said in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
我们再看前面的五节和六节，如此基督也不是自取荣耀做大祭司，乃是在乎向他说，你是我的儿子，我今日生你的那一位。就如经上又有一处说，你是照着麦基洗德的等次永远为祭司。
Aaron was a high priest under the law, but he could never bring anything to perfection.
亚伦呢，是在律法之下的这个大祭司，但是呢，他永远不可能使任何东西变得完美。
And he could only serve as long as he lived, and he died in the wilderness.
而且他只有在活着的时候能够服侍神，而且他自己就死在旷野里了。
And another would have to take his place.
那另外一个人要接续他的职分呢，做大祭司。
And even the sacrifices that he offered were not perfect; they couldn't cleanse the soul.
而且他们献的这些祭物呢，也不是完全的，因为他们不能完全除罪。
It could only cover up the sin till the next time.
那只能在下一次献祭之前呢，暂时的遮盖罪。
But this man, he's a priest. He's been made that day when he was exalted to God's right hand. He was made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
但是这一位呢，就是主耶稣基督啊，当他升天到了父神的右边的时候呢，他就被任命为这个永远的大祭司了，而且是照着麦基洗德的等次为大祭司。
And we have the comparison again in chapter 7, verses 23 to 25.
嗯，然后在七章的23到25节呢，还有再一次的一个对比啊。
He says there about the old priesthood. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, like Aaron.
嗯，二十三节里面啊，这些说的就是旧约的那些祭司。那些成为祭司的数目本来多，是因为有死阻隔，不能长久，就像亚伦一样。
But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood.
嗯，但是二十四节说，这位既是永远长存的，他祭司的职任就长久不更换。
But Christ, having come, can die no more.
嗯，因为主耶稣基督已经不会再死了。
And God the Father has promised that your priesthood will be forever after the order of Melchizedek.
而且这是父神的应许啊，说他的这个祭司的这个等次是照着麦基洗德的等次的，而且是永远都不会停止的。
In verse 25, we say, therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Amen. 所以二十五节，凡靠着他进到神面前的人，他都能拯救到底，因为他是永远活着替他们祈求。
We have a faithful, merciful and faithful high priest who can never fail.
所以我们有一个信实又怜悯的大祭司，他永远都不会失败。
Because he ever lives to make intercession, he can save us to the uttermost. What does that mean? It means once you believe in Jesus, he will bring you to his home in heaven because he ever lives to make intercession for you.
因为他永远活着，永远为我们代求，所以他能够保守我们直到到底啊。到底是什么意思呢？就是他一定能够确保我们能够回到他的回到天家，永远和他在一起。
What a wonderful salvation that God has provided for us.
所以神提供给我们的这个救恩是多么美好的救恩呢？
Not only taken care of our past sins, but he's taken complete control and responsibility for all our future needs.
他不仅解决了我们过去所有的罪的问题，而且为我们将来所有的需要啊，他都负责到底了。
So, the day of Pentecost, it ushers in the great harvest, time of harvest. Now, over three months are going to go by before we get the next feast.
所以五旬节呢，就是这大丰收的开始的时刻了。接下去呢，就有三个月的时间，之后呢，就会到了一个下一个节期。
These four feasts, the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Pentecost, those four, they've all been fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit.
所以这前四个节期，就是逾越节、无酵节、初熟节和五旬节，它都已经完全应验在主耶稣基督以及圣灵的降临的这个上面了。
The last three feasts, they involve Israel, and they're all yet future, and they will be fulfilled when Jesus comes to earth in power and glory.
那后面三个节期呢，都是与以色列民族有关的，还是将来的事情，是要到主再一次在他的全能和荣耀当中来到地上的时候就会应验了。
Next week we're going to look at the harvest interval. There are some thoughts about the harvest and the end of the harvest, which will be the rapture. And then the feast of trumpets, when God calls the nation of Israel back into the land.
那下星期呢，我们要查考一下这中间的隔的这个三个月的收割期，然后这收割期呢也是有一些属灵的含义在里面的，而且直到最后这个收割的期的最后呢，就是教会被提，被提以后呢，接着就是吹角节了，就是以色列剩下的这个三个节期就要开始了。
Until next time, the Lord bless each one.
直到我们下次在下周再相聚之前啊，愿主祝福我们每一个人。
Let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Father, we do thank and bless you for all your grace to us.
主，我们感谢也颂赞你给我们一切的恩典。
For such a salvation, what a plan you have made for us.
这是怎样的救恩呢？你为我们制定了怎样的计划呀？
Father, we would pray that you would just open our understanding more, that we might see more beautiful things in your word.
主啊，我们就祈求你能够打开我们的悟性啊，让我们能够看到在您的话语中看到更多美丽的东西。
We thank you for each one here today. Bless each one, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
我们感谢今天来的每一位弟兄姐妹，也求您祝福他们，奉主耶稣基督的名祷告。 Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.